Hi, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Glory to God. This place looks nice. Looks kind of fallish. Is that a word? Is it? Good. Well, it is now. I declare it to be a word. I am really excited about today's message. As you can tell, the exuberance is just coming out of me. But I am on the inside because I think it's something to help us, especially in this day and age that we're now living in. The world is nuts. And I don't want to go nuts with it. You know, for a long time, they have thought that people that love God and serve God and listen to God that we're nuts. But they've pretty much proven the opposite, that if you don't hear from God, then you could be a little bit different. Every person needs to hear from God. Every person needs to know God. Every person needs to experience the love of God. Every person needs Jesus Christ. There's no other way to heaven except by Him. And if we try to choose any other pathway, that pathway will be what the Bible calls a pathway of destruction. And we don't want to go that way. Amen. We want to go God's way and we want to do it all the way. And I taught a series not too long ago on being all in for God. That's something that we should reevaluate every day in our life, whether or not we are all in with God or whether we're just all in with ourselves or we're all in with our jobs, whatever it may be. But be all in with God, because then you'll be able to be all in with everything else. Without His power, we're powerless. We may think we have power, but we don't have power. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now let's pray and we'll get after it. Father, today we thank You so much. Thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ that's come and cleanse us, to wash us from all sin, past, present, and future. God, we thank You that we live in this life because You put us here for such a time as this. And God, we thank You, Lord, that You want to put Your stamp of approval on our lives as we yield ourselves to You in all that we do and all that we say. And God, may Your word be that standard which we go by in every area of our life, that we not hold anything back when it comes to integrity of the Word of God. We stand by it because it, Your Word, stands by us. And we give You honor. We give You praise in that name which is above every name. And all agree with that said, amen and amen. October 3rd, 2021 could maybe be the best day of the rest of your life. And it could be that God really intends that it be the best day of your life. I believe every day with God is going to be the best day of your life. Whether we have obstacles that have happened in our lives before and we've been tripped up from time to time, there's a wonderful way to live this life. And I believe it's just knowing who we are in Christ. And one of the things I want to do, and I want to forewarn you, that I have no idea really where we're going. I kind of have an idea, but I just leave everything else up to God, because they are led by the Spirit of God or the sons of God. I choose to be a son of God. I got 5 pages of notes, so you better hope I hear from God. Otherwise, I can bore you with a lot of stuff. And the notes are really good. They really are. But I want you to know that God has you in mind today, that sitting on His throne. And I don't know that God does a lot of sitting on His throne. I think He does a lot of standing and applauding for His children. He is for us. He is a Father God, and He wants us to enjoy the fullness of what He has for us. And sometimes people say, well, that's all you talk about, it just being blessed of God. How can you not know God? How can you know God and not be blessed? Because He is the blesser. We are the blessees. Amen. And so I want us to literally experience in every area of our life God's goodness, God's mercy, God's grace. Everybody say God's grace. Now, one of the statements I know I have for today is something that we need to get a hold of, because man has his true identity given to him by grace, not race. And so what I want us to do is make sure that we are extending ourselves into the hands of God and living according to His grace. not according to anything else, not according to a philosophy of man, because there's lots of things that are being said, lots of things are being taught, even bringing them into our school education department, if you will. They're bringing them in and they're trying to do some stuff that I think is just absolutely ungodly. And Christians kind of need to stand up a bit. Everybody say a bit, if not a lot. We need to stand up and we need to declare, but we need to have some truth that we live this life by. So God gave us a guide to his creation. It's called the Bible. And God has proven over and over again that he is God. He is the Lord God himself. And the reason I know God and I know he's real is because I've experienced the love of God. I've experienced a God that loved me even in my greatest failure. I've experienced the love of God even in my wildest imagination. Did I not know God? I had no idea God loved me as much as he loves me, and I still don't have a concept, because the Bible says the love of God passes knowledge. So we'll never get a full grasp on it, but we will. If you just got a little bit of grasp on it, you would literally live this life in a wonderful way. And you'd live it relaxed in the arms of God. And you'd have the peace of God that passes all understanding, garrisoning about your heart and mind, keeping you in Christ Jesus. You say, Pastor, you quote that scripture a lot. That's because this world needs to have his peace manifest in their lives. You live by the peace of God and you'll live comfortably. Because you let nothing bother you. You actually begin to live the way God wants you to do. So, all that God said about creation when he made it, he looked back every time and said, that's good. Or as Forrest Gump would say, that's good. That is good. That is good. God created the light. He created the waters. He created the sea. He created the dirt. He created everything that he created. God said it is good. And he created man and woman and gave him authority in the Garden of Eden, said it is good. When God says it's good, it does not get any better than that. It is just good. The Bible says God is good. Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's only one who is good. That's God. Well, Jesus knew he was one with the Father, and God wants us to realize that we are one together with him. Archaeology has proven over the years in their digs, they found biblical names that come out of this book. They have proven. Just archaeology proves. And then geologic record of a worldwide flood. Could you imagine that? Is there anywhere in the Bible that talks about a worldwide flood? I heard somebody the other day saying, well, it just literally was a flood for that one area. No, it was worldwide. Let's give God the benefit. He knows how to flood the whole world. He doesn't come up short in a flood. When he says worldwide flood, that's what he means. That's why we find some really weird fish in Kansas. Some skeletal remains of really weird fish. How did those get here? There had to be some kind of flood. Amen. So we live in a world created by God, but we also live in a world that was given over to his foe, if you will, the enemy. And the whole essence of the enemy is to steal, kill, and destroy all that God wants for you. He wants to steal your identity. He wants to steal your future. He wants to steal your destiny. He wants to steal anything that God has created for you and what he's created you to be. God has given us the answer. And this is a real simple solution to me. I believe our relationship with Jesus is the most important thing that we could ever strike out on. Or go after, if you will. Not strike out. We don't want to strike out on that. But when I say strike out, step out to. There's nothing more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's nothing more important. I believe this, and I'm going to read a passage of scripture out of the Passion Bible. Everybody say the Passion Bible. It's the Passion Translation. But I'm going to start here and see where the Lord takes us. But this is something that I think, I'm going to just throw this out there for a moment. Anything, any philosophy that would come and tell you who you are apart from God's word is nothing but a liar and a deceiver. And most, I don't know what part of that the church doesn't get, but we have, you know, I was driving, actually I was filling up a gas at Serves on 27th and Vine, and they're having the big protest for women's rights. You know, one poster so aptly said, now this is brilliant. She says, I'm a woman, not a womb. Okay. Okay. Well, you're a woman, one sort of a womb, a room. You have no room in your heart for God. If you will protest for the death of a baby, a right to kill a baby, the values in your heart need to be changed. And if you are a believer and you believe it's okay to abort a baby, then I would ask you to and suggest to you that maybe you just check out what you're believing and why you're believing it, because that kind of belief system is right out of the pit. We do not sacrifice human beings to a living God. Amen. Well, where will we go this? God's amazing grace has given us an incredible bloodline. Flowing through our veins, literally, when we become Christians, is a divine flow of the love of God, the divine flow of the health of God, the divine flow of God. We have God's DNA flowing through our system. And we want to live that way, but at the same time, we have a mind that needs to be renewed. The Bible says in Romans 12 that we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then we have in this world, when we have a system, we have more young people believe. I love young people, but sometimes they don't get it. Some do, but some don't. But if they've grown up in our school systems, they're a little bit more leaning toward Marxism than they are even Christianity. You know, Marxism in its true form doesn't want anything to do with God. Marxism in its true form is atheistic. And there's no country that's ever benefited by having a Marxist government. They all have been nothing but failures, and they will continue to be because they have no foundation to stand on. And when it's all said and done, the only thing that's going to be left standing is a foundation of God's word, and we better be standing on that. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us living this life in a way that will honor him and literally give ourselves to the validity, the integrity of God's word. God's word needs to be final authority in our life. Let me just say this, and I get this off my maybe. I believe that we do not need to make excuse to sin. We don't even need to have permission to sin. We just simply do it our own most of the time. But I would say this. When people begin to argue about whether such and such is not a sin, I'm thinking, why do we want to argue about the possibility if it is a sin that it being okay? And I know the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin, past, present, and future. But I also know we still have a free will after we come into the kingdom of God, and we can still choose to live by sin if we want to and in sin. Been a great time to say, oh me. There's an amazing bloodline that gives you and me a right to live this life in a way that honors God. And it's through the blood of Jesus. We're going to receive communion at the end of the message today, but I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus, Hebrews 9:12, we'll start with this, and with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he, Jesus, entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. The blood of Jesus has secured your and my redemption forever. Everybody say forever. Now, if it is true that that's true, then why would we ever want to step out away from that redemption? Well, most of us wouldn't, right? Don't you agree? And then again in Hebrews 10:19, because of the blood of the Lamb. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. It gives us access into the holy of holies. We can go in and stand before the living God without a sense of shame, guilt, or condemnation. We can stand before God without any shame, guilt, or condemnation. But that's not so that we can go back out and do what we want. Amen. Now you may, most of you look so innocent. I know you've never done that, but I have. I have missed the mark in my life, even as a pastor. I don't know that I've missed it the last 3 or 4 minutes, but there's been times. As a pastor, I've missed it. And so what I want to do is I want to keep my conscience clear. I want to keep my heart clear so that I can go before God at all times without a sense of shame, guilt, or condemnation. God, I just shared not too long ago about how we need to be free of condemnation. But a lot of that has to do with our choices, if not all. Because God is readily accepting us as we yield to Him. We're giving ourselves saying, God, thank you for cleansing me. The Bible says if we go to Him and we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and remind us of them for the rest of our lives. No, that's not what 1 John 1:9-10 says. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because He doesn't want anything hindering our going into His presence on a regular basis. When you've missed the mark, sometimes the last place, just like your kid, when your kids have done something wrong, isn't it amazing how they just don't want to come eyeball to eyeball with the parents? Did you do this? We do the same thing with God. And God is so ready to forgive us, I don't know why we don't get into that a little bit more than we do, but we should. Can you say amen? Hebrews 12:24 says this, you have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness, instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Listen to what the Word of God says here about what the blood does. The blood which speaks of forgiveness. Back that up a little bit. There you go. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness. We have the forgiveness of God flowing through our veins. We have the love of God flowing through our veins. And for us to be a people say, I don't think I could ever forgive. You know, when you forgive somebody, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go live with them. You forgive, you cut ties. You cut the ties that have been dragging you probably into a life or a lifestyle that you don't want to be a part of. Well, I'm just saying, be quick to forgive. How quickly should I forgive, Pastor West? As soon as you realize that you need to forgive, forgive. And then just do it. That is given to us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Life of the body is in the blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the body is in its blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are made right with God. How many of you know that? Romans 5:9 says it like this. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. It's hard for us to picture this and for us to get a glimpse of it in our inner man or with our inner man coming out. But when God looks at us, He always looks through the blood of Jesus. He always looks through the blood. He sees you as that blood created you to be. Perfect. We don't always walk that way, but He created us that way. And you've heard me say this, you're a threefold being, a spirit man, spirit person that lives in a body that possesses a soul. You're a three-part being just like God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is a three-part human being, or a being, divine being. We are a three-part human being. We are the real us, the spirit person that lives on the inside, lives in a body. And if we're going to be in this earth, we have to be in a body. That's why the enemy always wants a body to move through. And that's why God wants a body to move through, because that's the way this side of heaven works in a living body. The Spirit of God determined that He would come and live within us and help us live this life in a way that is victorious, that He wants us to win on this side of heaven. Can you say amen? So here's my point that I want to make today, and I may be done. Don't get your hopes up. I really do believe God wants to point us back to the Garden of Eden when man started, when creation started. And I believe this, and I've heard this a long time ago. It's not new with me, but I'm surprised we haven't heard it more. God has determined that there be only one race, and that would be the human race. He did not want to have a group of people. He did not want to have the critical race theory being taught to our... Anytime something's taught that makes things divisive because the color or the breed of a person, that is right out of the pit of hell. I don't care what you say. I don't care how much you lace it up with man's incredible, wonderful wisdom and philosophy. Sometimes men's philosophies can be pretty stupid. And when we take it apart from the Word of God, then we're going to be in trouble. And I'm sad to say that there are people that know Jesus Christ that have tried to say, well, if you don't think this is okay, then I do. Well, I'm not saying it's not okay. I'm just saying that God said it's not going to be real healthy for you. And when I get up here, and I may or may not read this verse of Scripture, but when it talks about different types of lifestyles will not enter into the kingdom of God, not inherit the kingdom of God, one of them is adultery. I'm guilty of that. You say, Pastor, you've committed adultery? Well, not in the sense that you think I have. But the Bible says if you as a person look upon another person with a spirit of lust, you are counted as guilty of adultery. You don't even have to do anything but just lust after it. So there's lots of things that will keep you from inheriting the kingdom of God. Now, and that's what I was saying a while ago, and that's in 1 Corinthians, you can read those. But those things that are mentioned there, people say, you mean if I do that, I'm not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Well, that's what it says. I don't know how to say that any different. I've tried to say it differently because I don't want people to feel condemned, but God help me to help you feel convicted if you're living that way. Because if you're condemned, there's no way out. That's how the enemy makes you feel. But if you're convicted by the Holy Spirit, there is a way out. And His name is called Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. I don't want you to sin. I don't want you to be comfortable in your sin if it is sin. The Bible says, he that knows to do right and does it not, to him it is sin. More than one piece of pecan pie for me is wrong. I love pecan pie. I could eat the whole thing, have eaten the whole thing. You're saying, how short a time? Short time. Like on Thanksgiving Day. It starts out at lunch, and by evening before I go to bed, I'm laying there going, oh, gosh, I'm miserable, but I got to eat that last piece. So what could be sin to you may not be sin to me. But when God says certain things are sin and you will not inherit the kingdom of God, there's a possibility that means you could maybe end up that pathway, could take you to a road of destruction that maybe would keep you from going to heaven. I don't know. It's not real clear on that, but I do think this is just me. I do think if you're doing those things, you're not going to inherit the benefits of the kingdom of God on this side of heaven. Because you go to heaven because you know Jesus Christ. There will be people going to heaven who are not perfect. Except the born again person on the inside. When he leaves this body, he is perfect. You all kind of following that? There's one group of people that say, well, you're just picking on us. No, everybody can be picked on. You know, everybody has a propensity of sin. When you're born, when you come out of the womb, your flesh is looking for something bad to do. You say, well, those innocent babies, they don't know, but that's right. But sooner or later, there comes a point in their life where they know it's not good to mess your pants. So there are things you learn as you grow up. There comes a time in your life where you realize that you need a Savior. And the reason we need a Savior is so that we don't have to keep on sinning. Grace came into our life so that we do not have to, it empowers us to be free from the effect of sin. We don't have to live that way. We don't need to be making an excuse. I want to live in this sin and I just want to have freedom from God. I want to be accepted by God. God already accepts you because He accepted sinners. The Bible says while we're yet sinners, He died for us. And while we're yet sinners, He loved us. So it's not that God doesn't like sinners. He hates sin. He loves the sinner. He sent His Son to die for the sinner. Does that make any sense to anybody? So it's not race that... I give you this. I believe black lives matter. But I also believe white lives matter. And I believe red lives matter. I believe people matter. I don't care what the color of your skin is. I don't care. Send me some more black babies. I don't think of them that way. Just human beings with a beautiful color on them. I'm a little bit envious of black people because they look good in anything. No, I get a shirt that's got a lot of color in it, and I put it on, and Seth or somebody said, Dad, this has been a long time ago. Now I'm just so stylish. But when Tim puts on those things that are real colorful, it looks good on him. I say, that's not fair. But we have allowed our culture to pit us against each other because of color. And they're trying to do that even in our school system. The critical race theory is telling white privileged people that the only reason you have the privileges you... Listen, the only reason I have the privileges that I have is because of the grace of God. Because I remember where I was when I grew up. I remember what I was when I grew up. I remember how we didn't have what everybody else, I thought everybody should have. I didn't have that in our house. I did not have it. It wasn't white privilege that got me to where I am. It was Jesus Christ coming in my life, for by grace was I saved, praise God, and I was renewed by the blood of Jesus Christ, washed me clean, and bless God, my brothers, I don't care what color you are. Some of my best friends in the ministry are people of color. I don't care what color you are. I don't care if there's a pink race somewhere. I'm loving you. But anything that gets us to the place where, and we need to understand this because we are not going to be pitted against each other. I know there are some school systems, I was listening to a credible resource, but this little girl, 8-year-old girl, was in a class where they were teaching white, whatever you want. I don't even like to have it in my mind. But she went home crying because she felt bad because she was white. That's how God created her. Why is it that we who are white want to have a good tan? But how dare a black person try to date one of our children? I remember the first time I saw Tim is on a basketball court. And on the way to the ball game, Sandy said, I got something to tell you. I said, okay, so well, Christian's dating one of the Fort Hays basketball players. I said, well, really? Yeah. I said, well, great. And so on, by the time we got there, I said, well, he's black. I said, he's what? Now, I didn't think that I was prejudiced. But something went off in me. And I looked down, and I said, well, I mean, right then, we had several white players, the rest of them were black. Thank God, they had a pretty good record that year. White men can't jump. They're getting better. But I looked down there and I saw Tim, and I didn't know Tim from nothing. And I remember the first time shortly after he came over, Chris brought him over, and we said, and the extent of our conversation, when he walked in the house, he said, hi. And when he left, he said, bye. Tim, if you're watching, you owe me some words. But what I've learned through that relationship is how to deal with prejudice. Because I had some in my own heart, whether I believed I did or not. And I wasn't raised to be that way. But you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again, but Tim is one of the best things that ever happened in my life to help me get my feet on solid ground. Just believe, because I understand when people start saying, and holding up, Black Lives Matter, and just making, listen, I understand you've been treated badly over the years. I know people everywhere. I know white people that have been treated badly. I know people of different colors that have been treated badly. I know there's a devil out there, and he wants to kill all of them. It's not humanity. It's the spirit behind them. That's why we have a job to do called preaching the gospel, because the only thing that's going to change people's life is the grace of God coming into their life so that they don't have to worry about it. Well, I'm white. I'm just not going to have a chance. No, and listen, you know, God, you've got all sorts of chances to be the best you can be. And he's created you to have everything you need in this life so that you can be an overcomer in this life. That you not let any ill thought or any ill behavior or whatever may be keep you back just by and from entering into the love of God and walking with God and having that grace that empowers you to fulfill his purpose for your life. That's available in Jesus Christ. There's no other way to win in this life except through Jesus Christ. And it's not man's philosophy. It's not a devil's philosophy. It's the word of God, and it's forever settled in heaven and on earth. Thank God. So anyhow, I hate Marxism. Well, if you're intelligent, Pastor Wes, you will read and find out it's really not all that bad. Well, ask the people who have been brutally murdered by that system. Ask every church that was closed down because of that system. You can't believe in God under this system. And if you do, we'll kill you. I say take your best flipping shot. Amen. Say that as nicely as I can. But there are some things that we just absolutely need to stand for. The idea of we sitting back and allowing some man's theology or philosophy begin to pit race against race, culture against culture, is right out of the pit of hell. Now, the scripture I was going to read to you from the passage, I just got this new, it's not, all the chapters and books of the Bible are not done yet in the Passion Translation, but some of them are. But I just want to read to you out of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to back clear up to, and this is out of the Passion Translation. I'm going to start reading in verse 5, and I'm going to read for several different scriptures, but then I may stop and expound on a few of them. But even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. I'm telling you, I will not tell my children, nor will I tell my grandchildren anything but this. What we are and what we have is totally by grace, and it came through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to get it. There is no such thing as critical race theory. I don't care if the wisest, smartest people in the world say that. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, raised us. Everybody say, I'm an us. Us, like I said, I'm an us. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Where are we now? We're co-seated with Christ. We've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For by grace You have been saved by faith. Nothing you did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the love gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. You cannot be good enough to be saved through Jesus. You don't come through Jesus. That's the only door. It's the only door to heaven. Verse 10, we have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Even before we were born, God knew what he wanted us to do. He knew the destiny that we fulfill, and he's empowering us to do it through the grace of God. Before you were born, before you came out of the chute, God had a destiny plan for you. And then he gave the empowerment to do it. Verse 11. So don't forget that you were not born as Jews, and that you and were uncircumcised. Circumcision itself is just a work of man's hands. You had none of the Jewish covenants and laws. You were foreigners to Israel's incredible heritage. You were without the covenants and prophetic promises of the Messiah, the promised hope, and without God. Yet look at you now. Everything is new. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually been united to Christ. Verse 14, our reconciling peace is Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus reconciles us. That reconciliation is that we have peace with God. The only way we have peace with God is through his son, Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. He has made Jew, stop there for a moment, Wesley. Okay, I will. He has made Jew and non-Jew. Any non-Jews in here? Rest of you? Non-Jews. Yada, yada, yada. Non-Jews. A lot of non-Jews in here. And what Jesus did, he brought Jews and non-Jews, and that's a whole lot of people. That's entire nations in this world of people. And he wants us to be one race. One. Everybody say one. That's the whole purpose of God. So anything that, see, critical race theory leaves God out of the picture. But the grace truth puts God right centerfold of the picture. And he is in the middle. There is no oneness without God. It's the love of God. And the faith that God's given us to live this in this life by, the Bible says it's the faith that overcomes this world. But it's our reconciling peace. It's Jesus Christ. He's made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. By dying as our sacrifice, he has broken down every wall of prejudice. How many walls of prejudice? How many? That separated us and has now made us equal with our union with Christ. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. You go to the cross and there's no more ethnic separation. There's no more color separation. There's just no more prejudice. At the cross, we become one. I think this is pretty good preaching, actually. And we got to have answers for people when they start asking about stuff. Well, what's the church saying about this? Well, the church is saying that the critical race theory is right out of the pit of hell. You say, well, Pastor, that's you. There's a lot of people saying that. But there's a lot of people, a lot of pastors don't have the freedom to say that. Amen. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been repealed by his command. His triune essence has made peace between us by starting over, forming one new race of humanity, Jews and non-Jews fused together in himself. That's an answer to critical race theory right there. And if somebody's teaching white privilege in your child's schoolroom, call them out on it. You say, well, have them show that to you in the Bible. Well, God doesn't want you to hook up, be unequally yoked. Yeah, we're sinners. But he wants the body of Christ that we're baptized into the body by the Spirit of God. We become one. Jew and non-Jew. We become one. One human race. One. Verse 16. Two have now become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ. Through his crucifixion, hatred died. We have a government that does its best to try to get us to hate one another. Now, I grant you, there are some things I hate that people do, but I don't hate the people who do them because if God loves them, I love them. But at the same time, if you're a Christian and you've been walking in this stuff for a while, I've got a scripture that says I could take you by the nape of the neck and just jerk you away from that and just try to get your attention a little bit. What we try to do when people are in sin is, well, bless your darling heart, just go ahead and sin. It'll kill you sooner or later, but maybe it'll be a long time. No, if you're a Christian and you're living that way, you probably ought to get out of it. I'm going to preach to the cross. Because that's the very reason we should get out of it. Because Jesus died to set us free from it. Why would we want to live in known sin? When he that knows to do right does it not, to him then it is sin. I'm not trying to make anybody feel condemned, but I do want us to be convicted, to live a life that honors God. Coming on. We don't do it perfectly, but bless God with Jesus' help, we can fulfill a destiny for our lives. For the Messiah has come to preach this sweet message of peace to you, the ones who were distant and to those who are near. And now because we are united to Christ, we both have equal. How many of you ever heard in life, that's just not fair? We are made to feel by different cultures that reparations are due them because of what took place them. Well, the reparations have been paid through the blood of Jesus Christ. I could give you all sorts of money, back pay, for all the stuff that you've gone through, and it's not going to pull you out of the pit of hell. You could still go to hell with taking the biggest reparation payment that's ever been given. Wow, haven't we really succeeded? No, you haven't, because you don't know Jesus. You can have all the wealth this world has to offer. If you don't know Jesus, you are going square to hell. Going back to the cross. Now that sounds like I'm being hard, but I'm just telling you, Christians, we play around with sin way too much. If you think maybe it might possibly could be maybe sin, you're probably right. If you have to wonder if it's sin or not, it is. Well, you know, they're doing it. He that knows to do right and does it not, to him it is sin. There's some people that just don't care. They love to. I was a good sinner. Before I met Jesus, I was a good sinner. Sneaky sinner. I wanted people to think I was really good, but I was really rotten. That's why all my friends, when they'd see my kids growing up, they'd say, you need to come by and talk to us. We'll tell you what your dad was really like. Well, I was a good sinner. I voiced it. I spoke it. But when I met Jesus, things changed in my life. I wasn't perfect overnight except spiritually. Still had to renew my mind. Still had to retrain my body to discern between good and evil, which is possible. But here we are living in a world where we're allowing people who lie. The Bible says the world lies in darkness. Why would we want anybody that lies in darkness tell us how to live? Think about that. Well, Brandon, I'm coming back over. You smile at me a lot more than these guys do. Why would we want to live that way? Why would we want this world that lies in darkness to tell us how to live and tell us what's okay? And then if we resist it, then we have developed some type of phobia. I have a phobia, and it's against stupid people. We don't have to be stupid. And I'm saying that in a kind way. The Bible says we can have the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is the ability to take the knowledge that we have and apply it in the right way. Not in a way that benefits the enemy. And verse 18 again. And now, because we are united to Christ, we have both equal and direct access in the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. And then it goes on to say, and I'll quit here in just a minute. So you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the holy ones, with all the rights as family members of the household of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, regardless of what color you are, you have equal rights before the Father. You have equal stand before the Father. And you can be a new kid on the block, or you can have been doing this for a long time. But if I were parents, and I am a parent, but I mean of young families, I would just make sure that my kids are listening to the right truth. Because the critical race theory will take the faith of God out of them. But the truth of grace will put it back in. Because for by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourself, it's a gift of God. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives have been built up together upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you're connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the anointed one, Jesus Christ himself. It's not the critical race theory that's going to save humankind. It's the truth of the grace of God that's going to save humankind. There's no other way to heaven. You can go and try and find it, but you're not going to find it. You can read all sorts of man's philosophy. I hear people talk about, I've read that religion. Why would I want to clutter my mind? I have a hard enough time remembering a phone number. Why would you want to seek other truth when you found the truth? Well, maybe I just want to minister, be able to minister to them. Well, how about just tell them there's only one way to heaven? That's what my word, the Bible, the word of God says. There's only one way to heaven. It's Jesus. If you don't go through him, you're not getting it. I don't care how much I don't care how much it's sitting there. I could care less. It's not going to get you heaven. God, have you seen my yoga position? Yeah, I have, and it doesn't impress me. Well, but it relaxes me. Well, so can the Word of God. I'm just saying that even behind yoga, there's a wrong spirit. It's always good to go to yoga class, but let's go to Christian class. No! How dare you bring up that word Christianity. Christianity. Well, I did make it to page 2. How many are glad I didn't make it to page 5? Okay, I will close with this. I understand grace. Because the reason I understand grace I don't understand it fully, don't take it as that, but the little bit I know, because of the grace of God, I have found out my true identity. I've been created in the image of God. And my true identity comes from Him and no one else. No vain philosophy. No wrong teaching. No wrong theory. How's Darwinism worked for us? There are people that know the end days of Darwin, and then there are some people that this is just hearsay, but there are some people that literally think Darwin repented for that theory of evolution, and he may have possibly gotten born again. But just tell people out there thinking, we come from a monkey. Well, you maybe. You pick your ancestors, I'll pick mine. We came from God. And it started in the Garden of Eden. And if you really traced all the bloodlines from the Garden of Eden, every people on the face of the earth would go back to the Garden of Eden. I mean, Adam and Eve. Great, 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 great. Great, 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 great. Grandparents. That bloodline that came into us by grace. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there be no remission of sins. And thank God Jesus shed His blood. Can you say amen? I help anybody? Eight people? We gotta have an answer for what's being thrown at us, and I think sometimes I wait for wise, but then I'm smart enough to know this is our answer. We can just find out what this thing says. This is our answer. There's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because that's what the Bible teaches. And the Bible also teaches that we are the healed. We're the whole. We're the delivered. We're the righteous. We're the lovely of God. We are God's creation. We're created in His image. My identity comes from God. It does not come from an ape. It doesn't come from a one-cell amoeba. Uncle amoeba. The stuff we believe. Are you okay with this? Because I think the truth known helps us be a little freer to just go out and... We should wake up every morning and say, God, help keep me on the path of righteousness. I don't want to go any other pathway. Amen. Well, Father, I pray for these people, everyone, every household included. I thank you, Lord, for your word, the truth of God's word that really establishes our going and our coming. And God, that you would begin to literally move in every household represented here in a new, fresh way. And God, that we don't have to give way to any theory that's apart from your word. We just have to give ourselves to grace. For by grace we're saved, not just from hell, but all the horrible curse that has come through the enemy. We're delivered from it because of the blood of Jesus Christ that came to us by grace. I thank you, Lord, that we stand free. We stand whole. We stand well. Lord, I speak healing into every household. And I speak common sense. I speak good, godly reasoning into the heads and mind. Those who have been entrapped in different things that have caused them heartache, caused their soul to ache, God, help free them up by just showing them the reality of their identity in you and that they do not come short of that in any way in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And if you agree with that, you say, amen and amen. Now, we talked a little bit about the blood. Guys, come on up and serve that portion that represents the body of Christ. And then I'd ask everybody, just hold yours until everybody gets served and we'll all partake of it together. Thank you, John. I really do think that communion is to remind us of God's grace. And there's more to it. I mean, I understand that a lot of times we talk about the suffering that Jesus went through, but the reason he went through what he went through is so that grace could bring us a new identity with God. That grace could reconcile us. That blood that came by grace could reconcile us to the living God. Amen. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 16. It says, "For when we pray for the blessing of the communion cup, isn't this our co-participation with the blood of Jesus? And the bread that we distribute, isn't it the bread of our co-participation with the body of Christ? For although we're many, we become one loaf of bread and one body, as we feast together on one loaf." Every race, every ethnicity, every one of us are one in Christ. And we partake of one bread, of one body. Take heed. Thank you, Lord. You know, there's only one thing that separates us from God. And that one thing, that one sin, that would keep you, if you chose to do this one, would keep you separated from God forever, and your destiny would be to live forever in hell. That one sin that you will be judged for, or not judged for, is whether or not you believed on Jesus. That's the only sin that you're going to be judged for. The only one. Now, when you don't believe Jesus and believe in Him, a lot of times you'll make other choices that are wrong for you and can be destructive. But when you do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, when you stand before God and stand before Jesus, Jesus will say, "Enter in. Because you did not deny me before men. I will not deny you before my Father." Amen. Thank God this blood cleanses from all sin. Can you say amen? Take and drink. Hallelujah. Well, what a great day. Everybody smile at me. I'll smile because I didn't want to make a decision whether or not I want to meet you at the door going out. Well, most of them smile. Okay. I am thrilled to be a believer. I may not be the most perfect one ever, but I am thrilled to be a believer. I am thankful to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. That kind of gives you a sense of calm in a world that's really pretty chaotic. Amen. The right way back in any situation is back to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Jesus wants better for you than you want for yourself. And he wants that so much he gave his life so that you could have that. Stand with me. Thomas, come up. Thank you. Boy, one of the best men I know. He paid me $20 to say that, and I need a bike. He is a good man, though.
Good morning, everybody. You know, this is October, so it's always Pastor Appreciation Month, but we're not going to do that today. We're going to do it the 31st of October for all the other pastors. But what we're going to do today I'm glad you're all standing because I was going to ask you to stand anyway, but we're going to take up a special offering for Pastor Tim. He's been through some trying times, but God turned around for his good. He's still here. He's still vertical. And we thank you, Father, for his healing. So what we're going to do is I want everyone, I think Doug's still got the camera running. So after we get finished, I'll pray. And after we get finished, we're going to take the baskets are in the back. If you want to give anything, you can either make it out to the church or make it out to Pastor Tim. Or if you want to make it out to Chris, she'll make sure he gets it, right? Okay. So anyway, that's what we're going to do, but I'd like for, I think he's watching, so everybody turn around, look at the camera, wave at Pastor Tim, let him know that we support him, we love him, and that we'll just extend our hands now, and we'll just pray a prayer of healing and restoration over Pastor Tim. So, Father God, we just thank you for this body of believers. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, your grace that you bestow upon each and every one of us each day. We thank you for Pastor Tim and for what he's done for this body. We know he's anxious to give back because his head and his heart and his mind is just full of sermons to share what God did for him and what he did for people in the hospital. And we just thank you, Father, for healing him, making him whole and well. It's by Jesus' stripes that he is whole and complete, and we thank you that no weapon formed against that man or his family will prosper. Mm-hmm. We give you praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we also thank God for healing that, and just in the family here of Westview, we thank God that healing is flowing into those homes and that sickness and disease has no place because of the blood of Jesus, which we just partook of and honored God by saying, Lord, we believe your blood has healed and delivered us. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Have a great week. Next week, got a surprise guest for you. Many of you know him. Pastor Charlie is going to be here. It's worth the trip out here. I'm telling you, you'll get a nugget from God, and you'll be better off. Charlie is one of the best friends of my life, and he still hangs out with me. I figure somebody that lives with me and knows me and knows the good, the bad, the ugly, and still likes me is a good friend. He's a good friend. But so anyhow, have a great day. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.